The deity of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word deity is basically a word that defines the supernatural nature of God, or sometimes even an idol. So it within it contains really the definition of the supernatural power of God, and sometimes it can be, you know, referring to an idol to whom people attribute some power or some you know, either supernatural or superficial power, you know, idols and, you know, witch doctors and demons and all. So it's basically the nature of God as being supernatural and being divine. And we'll start off up there with the Bible's teaching on the triune God. So the Bible teaches that God is three persons. Now, each person is fully God. The Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. The Holy Spirit is God as well. And the third statement is, there is one God. Now, you can try to comprehend all that in your head, and you definitely won't. And some teachers have tried to give some illustrations on the Trinity, and they all come short. Some people say, okay, it's like water. You know, there are three forms of water. There is water, there is ice, and there is vapor, but it would still give you a twisted view of who God is. Some have explained that, you know, it's just like somebody who is who has an office. He works somewhere, like in an office, and then at home is a father, and, you know, in the evening is a gardener, you know. So one person kind of doing three things in a day. But that still falls short. So there is no complete illustration on the Trinity. Simply, God is three persons. Each person is fully God. God is one. All right? Does anybody understand that? No. That is the biblical teaching of the Trinity. Now, by the Holy Spirit, He is God, but He is also a divine person, a supernatural person. He's not just an influence or a power. And some places and some Christians think, oh, the Holy Spirit is just a power, you know, when somebody falls down, oh, he has been hit by the Spirit, slain by the Spirit. Or when, you know, somebody gets, you know, maybe healed, and you're like, oh, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. So we can associate the Holy Spirit with just power, you know, and define him as, you know, power. But he is the person, and he is a supernatural person, super powerful person. And that is actually taught in Scripture. He is referred to with a masculine personal pronoun, he. It's not an it, it's not anything else, but is a person, he. We find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So if you have a person who teaches, he's a teacher. You learn more about that, about the work of the Holy Spirit, on another Wednesday. But he is a person, just like any one of us. In John chapter 15, verse 26, but the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will. So he is a person. Now, another thing about the Trinity is that we see the Trinity explained all through Scriptures. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are seen in creation and are seen in redemption. Creation, Father speaks, the Son actually executes. You'll see that as you go in your study through this series on the Spirit. And the Spirit, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is hovering around the waters. We also see the Trinity, rather, in redemption. The Father sends the Son. The Son dies on the cross the Son ascends into heaven, the Son sends back the Holy Spirit. Now, that can help us understand that the Holy Spirit is not just a force, not just an influence, not just power, but He is a person, supernatural person. And as we look at who He is, you know, His nature as God, we should at the end of this day know that this is a person that we are relating with, right? Much as the Spirit may manifest Himself in many ways, He may manifest Himself, as we see in Acts chapter 1, in tongues of fire, right? And as the writer of Acts records, also a sound of a rushing wind. So this is a person who can manifest Himself in many ways. He can speak audibly to you, though He can also quietly speak to you in your mind, in your heart. So I hope that as we study through this, that we may know who the Spirit is, and it may enhance our relationship with the Father. So first of all, He is associated with God the Father and God the Son. In His nature as God, as I've explained at the beginning, He is associated with God the Father and God the Son. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we see the Trinity right there. The Father is there mentioned with the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we see divine unity there. And some have tried to explain how we are also, you know, triune. We are kind of a lower triune. We have our body, we have our mind, and we have our spirit. We are three in one. And that is kind of a lower expression on who God is: Father, Son, and Spirit. We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So the words are kind of, the persons are interchangeably named. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So we see in 1 Corinthians there, Lord, Spirit, Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit mentioned together. Secondly, He is referred to as God in many places in scriptures. And this is not really the entire pullout of scriptures about the person of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, His nature as God. This is just a few that I've pulled out to help us and even to stir us up to study some more about the Spirit. So don't think this is all the scriptures that mention the person or the nature of the Holy Spirit, just a few. He is referred to as God. In Acts chapter 5, we see that, verses 3 to 4. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep out of the price of the land itself for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? Rather, in your own control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." So Peter uses the Holy Spirit as the one whom Ananias and Sapphira had lied to. And he said also at the end of the verse 4 there, "You've not lied to men, but you've lied to God." So lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. He is God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is there referred to as being fully God Himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." See there is Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is, there is liberty. Expressing the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. Remember, not just a force, not just an influence, not just anything. He is a person. He is God. Thirdly, he has attributes of God. He has characteristics of God. Now, we can think of God as all-knowing. He's omniscient. God is, of course, all-present, omnipresence in nature, omnipresent. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. And we see all these. We see his omniscience, omnipotence, and we see his omnipresence. We also see his eternity. And to be God, you really have to know everything. You have to be everywhere at the same time, and you have to be all-powerful, and you have to be eternal. You have no beginning and no end. And we see all these in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the fact that he is omnipresent, present at the same time everywhere. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 to 8, David said, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is everywhere at the same time. You go to heaven, he's there. You remain here on earth, he's here. You go anywhere else around the world, around the galaxies, he is right there. He's omniscient. We see his omniscience, all-knowing nature in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. But God has revealed them, this is talking about God's plan here, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man in which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we see the Holy Spirit as all-knowing. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about everything. He is everywhere at all times. He is also all-knowing. He knows everything about everything. He is eternal. No beginning, no end. Remember, actually, starting from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning there was God. And in verse 2, the Father there is mentioned, the Spirit is hovering over the waters, the Bible records. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, rather, there's a word that is skipped there in your notes. Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we see that the Spirit is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. He lives forever. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He has all power. And, you know, this is, I think, very easy for us to understand, because when we see the supernatural happening, miracles happening, we see signs and wonders happening, we know that it's an expression of God's power. And most Christians relate to this very well. However, he's not just a power. Remember, he is a person who is all powerful. He has all power. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when Mary wondered how she would conceive without knowing a man, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power, what is used there, of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So Mary here was told that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God could do that in His power, because He's all powerful. Fourthly, the works of God are attributed or ascribed to Him. So we see that what God does is actually attributed or ascribed to the person of the Holy Spirit. And we see this in creation. We see this in salvation. We see this in the inspiration of scriptures. And we see this in the raising of Jesus from the dead. First of all, in creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He was there in creation. See what Job said in Job chapter 33, verse 4? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So we see at creation that the Spirit is present, active. We see Job testifying that the Spirit of God made him and gave him breath. Not only do we see him in creation, in salvation as well. In John chapter 3 is the story of a man who comes to Jesus by night, and he had questions about salvation. And Jesus answered his questions by telling him in John chapter 3, verse 5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So the work of salvation is only possible with God, and here that work is attributed to the person of the Holy Spirit. That one cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they have the Spirit of God, unless they have received Jesus in their life and God's Spirit has come into their life. You know, the dead spirit in them is brought back to life. Regeneration is another word that can be used there. Inspiration of scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by" who? The Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, would move these men to write down what we have as the Bible, that their minds, their hands, their hearts were being moved by God, much as it was physical and practical. Now, of course, you learn about the gifts of the Spirit and the guidance of the Spirit and all these, and some of the misunderstanding that is among Christians about the Spirit is that when the Spirit is guiding you, something weird has to happen, right? Like you have to get out of your mind and scream and fall down and roll on the ground and shout, and people are like, "Oh, that is the Spirit." That's not true, right? He is a person, remember, he is a gentle person. This is God. And he would guide these men. And think about getting a pen and writing down something. And that was God doing it. Very natural, very normal, very practical. God himself guiding these men, guiding Paul, writing letters to churches, to people. And in so doing, God was actually the one guiding him to do this. It wasn't just his mind, much as it was his mind. So God giving Paul and all these biblical authors his mind, and they take it on as their own mind, and they write it down. But at the back of the story, God was inspiring them. God was breathing his word through them. What we have as the Bible, and we need to understand that, you know, God's guidance is not something weird and something that is out of this earth, often God guides us in very normal, natural, ordinary ways. Whether you're walking, whether you're shopping, whether you're visiting people, whether you're just in conversation, that God actually can be speaking through you to somebody in an ordinary, normal, day-to-day conversation. You don't have to like close your eyes and like, "Thus says the Lord," and you know, somersault and all these crazy things that people think is really the work of the Spirit, you know, laughing in the Spirit and shouting in the Spirit and, you know, barking in the Spirit. And maybe you've had those. So we see God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, guiding men, helping men, inspiring men to record scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see on the one hand, the Holy Spirit is inspiring men to write down scriptures. Timothy, 2 Timothy rather, chapter 3, verse 16 says, it is actually inspired by God. So we see the Spirit of God, we see God Himself actively involved in the penning down of scriptures. The raising of the dead, right? Now in another place, Jesus said that He had the power to lay His down life, to lay His life down and to raise Himself from the dead. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So we are told that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, actually raised Jesus from the dead as God. Now we have another testimony of God in the Son, Jesus Christ, saying that, you know what, I have the power to lay down my body, and I have the power to take it up again. So we have a clear picture of the Son having the same work and power in the same thing, the raising of Jesus from the dead, confirming the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, the Son is God, the Father is God. In the fifth category, the words of the Holy Spirit are considered the words of God. In Acts chapter 28, verse 25 to 27, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word, and there the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to the people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you'll see but not perceive. So we see the words of the Holy Spirit, the word that the Holy Spirit had given to Paul, being considered the very words of God. We just learned about that in the inspiration of scriptures, that what the Holy Spirit says is actually what God says, because it's God. All right? Let's go back at the beginning. I hope you're not more confused than when we first started. The Bible teaches a triune God, right? God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Each person is fully God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. There is one God. And we need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is a person, right? It's a person. It's not just a force, not just an influence, not just an experience. He is a person that you can talk to. He's a person. You see in John 14:6, He's a teacher. He teaches. In John 15:6, He is a person who testifies of who Jesus is. He tells people about who Jesus is in their hearts. We see that he is associated with the Father and the Son. We see that in Jesus' Great Commission, go baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. We see in the giving of the gift, it's the same Lord, the same God, the same Spirit who gives all these gifts for the profit of all, for the benefit of the whole church. We see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, being referred to as God in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, lying to the Spirit was lying to God. Seen that? We see that he is mentioned as the Spirit of God who dwells in us, the temple of God. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, that God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We see his attributes, Lord, that if you're to be God, you have to be all-knowing, everywhere at the same time, all-powerful. You have all power and you're supposed to be eternal, having no beginning and no end. God is everywhere. We've seen the testimony of the psalmist, Psalm 139, verse 7 to 8. You cannot go anywhere that God is not. Even in the darkest of a night, God is right there. Even when Jonah thought he would flee from God to Tarshish, God was right there. Caused him to be swallowed by a fish. God was right there in the belly of the fish with him. God caused the fish to spit him out. And God would speak to Jonah again. And he moved to Nineveh. God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere at the same time. He knows everything about everything and about everyone. So don't ever think that, oh, you can hide anything from God. Everything is bare in his mind. He knows each one of us and he knows everything about us and he knows everything about everything. We see his eternal nature in Hebrews 9:14. He is referred to as the eternal Spirit. No beginning, no end. We see he's all-powerful in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. When Mary questioned how she would get pregnant, the angel was like, God's power will be upon you. And the Holy Spirit would be the one to come upon her, and Jesus would be conceived. We see the works of God being attributed and ascribed to the Holy Spirit. We see that in creation. We see that in the testimony of Job. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me life. We see it in salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you have to be born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to give you a birth for you to enter the kingdom of God. We see the Holy Spirit inspiring men to write scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and 2 Timothy verse 3:16. We see the Spirit powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead. And the author says, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will also raise you from the dead. And lastly, we see the words of the Holy Spirit being considered the words of God. Acts chapter 25-27. Spirit would speak and his words were the very words of God. So in summary again, the Holy Spirit is third person in the Holy Trinity. He is fully God. He is associated with God in Scripture, as we see that, associated with the Father and the Son. He is referred to as God in many scriptures, some of which we've seen. He has attributes or characteristics of God, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, and everywhere at the same time. We see that the works of God are attributed or accredited, rather ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So what he does is the work of God. And then we see the words of the Holy Spirit considered the very words of God. Now, that seemed like a seminary lecture, right? Class type. You've been good students. So, I have a microphone stand here. If you have any question to ask about what we've talked about, there is more. There's 7 more weeks outlined to learn about more about the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the work, and many more. You know, so if you have any question regarding what we've just learned, please come and ask.